Okay, thank you, Stefano. I'm going to talk about what we do in terms of exploitation of data in ESA, recalling that we have the most comprehensive Earth observation system in the world today. And you can see here we have three main lines of satellite operating and observing the Earth. The first line, which is called the Earth Explorer, which is dealing mainly with science, they are science-driven missions. The famous now operational Copernicus program, but one should not forget that this program has been pioneered with the ERS and then later the NVSAT mission, which is kind of father of all this both science and operational mission. And we are developing for later being operated by EUMETSAT all the meteorology mission, which also quite provide a more comprehensive system for observing the planet. So now going to what we do with the first, I heard the people talking about the data policies. The data policy is full, free, and open for all the Earth observation mission. And this has contributed to the European leadership, I should say, from A to Z and to the exponential uptake of the data. The data are there. They can be used as a GPS signal in a sense. And this allows, of course, to develop a lot of science and a lot of application. So the way we work is we have defined the area of work in the blue of this chart, looking at how to use this data for science, including the missions which are not science-driven, which are more of an operation in nature, have a very strong science discovery component. Of course, public sector application, public use of the data, and pioneering a number of applications. Growing the industry, we want to have a strong European industry component, and we are supporting them. Sustainable development, I think it's we are in a topic which is quite close to some of the issues behind that. How can we use the data we have to achieve some of the sustainable development objectives? And today we have the technology of the platform. So all of that can benefit from a network of resources, we call it in our jargon, which are basically exploitation platform, which allows us to process in, I would say, a matter of hours today or days, even the situation at the global level on the planet. And now we have a system also. If we want to be fast and innovative, we have to listen to what industry in Europe has in mind or institute. So we reserve a part of our budget, which is actually 10%, for innovations who are kind of open calls. We are not defining the content of the work, but the industry or scientists do it for us. How we work means if you want to do data exploitation, you have to involve the users. So we work in a kind of a virtuous circle in which we are gathering communities by team or science topics. We are gathering their recommendation. There should be a consensus around the number of their recommendation. Then we have a system in ESA for approving the work plan with member states. We just did it 2 weeks ago. For the second, for the new programs, and then we can release invitation to tender, which are most of the time competitive, in order to stimulate European development. So this is just an illustration. So what we do in our division is following this domain, going a bit more in detail. I'm not going to recall the our mission. But we want overall to maximize the scientific impact of all our satellites. And this is the driver in what we do for the science aspect. We want also to pioneer new application and engage new users. There is no application without user engagement. So the users, they know what they want and they tell you, and you have to try to provide response or not. In some cases, we cannot. But in most of the cases, we have been innovating a lot. And this process actually gave birth to the Copernicus program when we started that some 20 years ago. We engage in the downstream industry. We have to develop the sector in Europe, and there is potential for having here again some world leadership in the domain with a number of companies which have been developed recently. We use the platform ecosystem, I mentioned that. We work also in the regions in Europe around what we call the regional initiative based on the user consultation on European policy at the regional level. And of course, as it was already mentioned, it's a tool for international collaboration. So just to show you the uptake of the data first in terms of science, this is a simple dashboard extracted from Scopus showing all this peer-reviewed publication. And this is classical, means the bottom except the green one, are what we were doing classically with missions which are in operation or even have passed away. And you see the exponential increase which is linked to the Sentinel mission. Actually, I have a comment there in the sense that before launching the first Sentinel-1, we started to work on with the scientists. And we were told it's an operational mission. We don't need the scientific community. Actually, most of the results in the first years of the mission were derived by scientists. So this proves that this was necessary. And this, of course, helped a lot in the uptake of the data, because the scientists work with the value values at the same time. Now, I wanted to show you some from words to real imagery. So it's an example of when we were monitoring the bushfires in Australia using actually three different sensors. You have on the left Sentinel-2, optical, high resolution. You have in the middle some Sentinel-5P, and on the right some Sentinel-3, which is night channel of the one of our instruments, which has thermal channel. So this is showing that we can get a comprehensive view of what's happening. What we did also, I don't have the slide because I have a very short presentation, we did a fire count of the situation, comparing the situation in 2019 and 2018 over a full year. And we saw that there was an increase of fire over in 2019 of almost 5 times. Then, of course, we looked at this in Brazil. It was more or less 4 to 5 times in Brazil, but the situation was equivalent in Siberia, in Australia. So globally, it's more or less 4 to 5 times more fire in 2019 compared to 2018. And these kind of numbers, they can be derived in a matter of a weekend, I would say. Now, this is, sorry for that, this is something we did not publish it, for a number of reasons, but we could derive this very quickly, which is the evolution of the pollution in China, showing the impact of course, of all the measures of limitation of people traveling in January of this year compared to the situation in January of last year. So I think the experts, they will tell you the number of cave arts to say, because which are linked to the external condition at the time, the temperature and everything. But you can see more or less that the situation is did not change in some other areas of the world, while in China the evolution was very, very strong. So this is quite, with the technology we have today, it's quite easy, I would say, to derive this kind of results quickly. And it has been also published by our colleagues in the US and in some other parts. So now, when we talk about air pollution, you have just to... This is a simple slide showing that the issue is not regional or continental, even it's global. So you see the effect of the long-range transport of pollution across the world. This is not something which has been discovered recently. Actually, it was historically observed for the first time on the Mauna Loa, where they could observe some NO2 concentration which were not corresponding to any human activity in the area, which was an illustration on how long-range transport can occur across the globe. So now, one of the key players in our domain is of course a new space. Everybody is talking about that. It's a private and public investment in a space startup. It's very dynamic. It's as dynamic as the IT sector in some areas. So we are looking at what we can do to help them. This is an illustration in the background of satellite video from space. With this new entrance, so we can help them to develop, and we have some dedicated activity to work on those missions. I mentioned consultation of the community. This can be very large. We have actually ESA, we have organized the largest Earth observation symposium in the world. I have organized also some symposium with some US colleagues in the past, but this is by far really much larger. We got 4,200 participants. It's just an illustration of the community is growing, with one of the stimuli factor being, of course, this full, free, and open data policy. We have also what we call is the next one is we are looking at innovation and AI. There will be a presentation this afternoon, I think, from one of my colleagues and team member on the topic. So we have organized some dedicated consultation with the AI community. Here, the issue is a bit that we cannot have Earth observation a specialist dressing up in an AI specialist. So we have to bring the two communities together. We start to have some young having experience in both domains. But we are dealing here mainly with data scientists. And I should say the first meeting we organized in the domain, which was called Open Science at the time, was really 80% of the people were new faces and young people. So this is, and this has created, stimulated the IT domain extraordinarily in the exploitation of data. So an example of we work on a yearly basis. It's 40% of our contracts are with SMEs. In terms of partnership for all our activity, we have each of our activity is involving close to 3.4 countries, close to 5 partners. The Open Call is extremely successful. We have already launched, I think, close to 85 already innovation contracts across Europe, which is showing that the domain is extremely dynamic. We had a budget which was forecast to be used in 5 years, and we used it fully already in 2.5 years, but we've got now a new program to continue. So this is the way to go and showing how we can do innovation. So 43%, almost close to half of what we do consists in really pure innovation and new things we are doing with the data. The spread between SMEs, universities, and other institutions is here for some of our activities in the Open Call, for example. We have a website. It is nothing fancy and having a website. The only thing which I should say is that means we have a lot of results which are published there. We have a link to all our contracts. You can find who is doing what. It's searchable on websites in each domain, so it's very useful as a resource to learn. Now we have just gone through a ministerial conference in ESA, because this is how we get our programs, which are, by the way, optional, approved. And we had an extension of this program, which is called Still Earth Science for Society. It's from EO Science to Earth Science. And in this program, we are going one step beyond in terms of what we can do with Earth observation. First, we have this very important harmonization with ECRTD on the Grand Science Challenge. So we are working hand to hand with the Commission there. Defining jointly programs in a number of domains. I will not have time to go into the detail, but it's quite successful so far, and we are launching really a number of consultations also there jointly with them. A resilient society, The here's the I think it will be covered also partly this afternoon. Is really the objective is to bring a solution for environmental threats, adaptation, and sustainable development goals. Everybody is talking about these sustainable development goals, but actually very little on the practical use of Earth observation has been done. A lot of paper brochure, but now we are entering in the making of that and making this happen. Regional initiative, we are consolidating what we have initiated in the previous program. Artificial intelligence, here we have taken stock of what can be done, and we are starting the activity just now. We are looking also at providing a solution for Africa, and looking also at some what we can do in terms of civil security application in the program. So the overall objective, I'm not going to dwell on it, it's about world leadership in Europe, building this European ecosystem, responding to needs, user needs. It's providing complementary information through a number of activities and leveraging on the IT, because we are lucky, we are very fortunate to have this support we have in the big data, AI domain, and new space, so which is increasing our capability to analyze the data. So just to show in one graph, this is a World Economic Forum on the global risk and trends. And you see that among the five risks that will have the biggest impact in the next 10 years, at least four out of five are linked to the impact of environmental change, which are linked to the support to climate mitigation and adaptation. So the program is bang on. And you see, of course, this is where you can read this this slide in different ways. The main message being this is where the business lies for a lot of European value-adding and small companies and institution in Europe. So we always speak about return on investment. This is what we use to sell our program. But it's important to stress that for our Earth Observation program and even for society, for every euro invested, we have up to a 4 euro return in through the program to all various stakeholders. And I should stop there.